Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. I'm so glad that I can say today that I have a Savior. Amen. I came from heaven and died on a cruel, rugged cross for a sinner like me. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Our theme today is fill the boat. And so in Luke chapter 5, that's what Jesus does. It's with fish, though, not with men. And I'd also, after you find something to maybe put there, I want you to turn and find Matthew chapter 11. We will start in Luke chapter 5, but I want you to get both places. While you're turning, let me just take a moment and tell you, I skipped over this, but there's some voter guides in the back for, it looks like, the governor election and some other things here. But I don't know why you would need to walk back there and get one. And I do think in most races you ought to be informed, but there are some of you, I know you're in here looking at me like, politics have nothing to do with the Bible, and you would be sadly mistaken. Amen. This book not only governs how government should run and what its purpose is, but it also is a book of truth. And if I'm going to look for someone who's going to represent me, they better represent this book. I'm just going to tell you this. All it boils down to for my vote, I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm going to tell you how me and my house will vote. Okay? The person that voted for the church and said it was essential, I think it's essential that he gets back in. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to make anybody angry, and you may not like everything that he does or says, but who can you say you like everything somebody says and does? All right? I'm just telling you, I don't even need to weigh in on who's running against him. Okay? I don't think that even at this point is relevant to the race. I think you can look at a man's track record and then vote with confidence. I know that many of us, again, even in this tragedy, if we're not careful, we'll let some of the things. And instead of what the Bible deals with politics, we'll let media philosophy fill our heads. And I'm just going to say, let me just say this. I really enjoyed this week. After the storm, he's there on the ground and a news media trying to trip our governor up by saying things like, you know, shouldn't they have been more ready? And they weren't even gouging him. They were gouging the local people in Fort Myers like someone was at fault. And I loved his answer. I don't know if you got his answer, but I'll give it to you. He looked right at him. He says, weren't you all predicting the storm to hit Tampa too? And that was it. There was, you know, it quieted everything down right then and there. Amen. Getting in the boat with the master is what I want to preach on this morning out of Luke chapter number 5. And I know that anytime we talk about politics or anything, things tighten up. But I'm just going to tell you folks, in the upcoming elections over the next several years, you can already see how the last election has affected our country with explosive amounts of inflation. Not just at the gas pump, that's where we felt it first. Okay, but all across our nation, inflation running wild, our housing market is about to explode. And as we go on, you say, well, preacher, how's that connected to politics? If you can't see a direct connection to terrible politics, to what is now going on in our world and especially in our nation, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent this morning, but just let me just tell you, it's been a long time since I just gave it to you straight, all right? On the politics side. So let me just remind you that we live in a world right now, the world is at war. And all trying to find on what side they're going to battle. And you say, well, it's a little too late to jump in and send money and rockets and everything else when you could have prevented the war just by being strong. Just by being a man. and what we have going on, how many lives, what is the cost of that war over there? All because America's leadership was weak. People lost their lives over that. You can't replace people with money. You can't replace people with firearms and things to defend themselves. If it wasn't enough, just folks, my heart was broken the day that I watched us pull out our troops and leave millions of dollars of equipment behind, and I watched a president of the United States order a plane to take off with people standing on the wings. That is a wicked soul. And we need to desperately pray for his salvation. All right, now that I got that out of my system. Some of you asked for it. I was just going to say something about the voter guides, and some of you looked at me with that look. And I just wanted to make it clear where I stood. Amen. Getting in the boat with the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, the Lord Jesus shows up there at the lakeside, and he needs to get in a boat so that he can teach. And I want to read the scripture. We'll read the scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive into the message. But do you know every one of us need to get in the boat? You know, too many times we don't remember that even the ark, way back when in the Old Testament, was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a picture of we couldn't do anything to save ourselves from the flood of sin that has swept over mankind. But we needed an ark to come and to take our place, that we could get in him. What a wonderful study in the scripture to just study in Christ, what it is to be in Christ. When we get saved, we get in Christ. And folks, this morning, if you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, boy, I pray you'll get in the boat today. That you'll get in and accept him as your personal Savior and know that you know that you know that you're safe in the ark and that he'll safely take you to the other side. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets break." I just want to preach that message to you this morning about getting into the boat. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Lord, as we come to you, Lord, I know already this morning, without a doubt, others maybe don't hold the same position, whether they're in the building or on the radio, but it's not my political position that desperately matters. It's my position in Christ Jesus. And for them, the same thing, their position in eternity. Lord, I pray that they would listen with their ears open and their heart open to the Holy Spirit of God, that he might draw them unto you this morning, that they might hear the word of God if they're not sure they're on their way to heaven, and they might receive the Lord Jesus Christ and get in him and know that they know that they know that they might be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all the other classes. Teenagers are hearing preaching right now. Young people are hearing preaching right now. I pray, God, that all across the property that you would save the lost and encourage the Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1, we see that it came to pass. Do you know everything Jesus did was preordained of the Father? That God predestinedly set that the way man would be saved. Even when man was created, God looked down through history and realized this man that he was going to make and he wanted to have fellowship with would sin. Man didn't throw a monkey wrench into God's plan. God had a plan for man's monkey wrench all along. God saw what the man that would be made from the dust of the ground would do, and he sent his son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you realize, Jesus, it didn't just come to pass because Jesus was passing by that way. Jesus was there on purpose. Folks, if you're in church today, it's no accident. You showed up here today, it didn't just come to pass and happen to you. There's a God who desperately wants to know you and you to know him. You have a God-shaped hole inside of your heart, and God wants to fill it. If you're not saved, and if you are saved, God has desired for you to be in his house with his people and a part of his church. It's his plan. It didn't just happen, it came to pass, just like God planned it. If you're here today because someone invited you, God had a plan. If you're here today because you're on the lowest place that you've ever been in your life, it's because God had a plan. You say, well, preacher, we came home and we heard it on the radio. We saw it on a track, or we saw it like that. I'm telling you, nothing that has happened to bring you to this place this morning happened by accident. God had a plan. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. I want you to see something from the verse. And while you're here today, I pray that you would listen to the word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. It actually says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know that most people that'll come to a church believe that this is the very word of God? They believe in God's word and his Bible. And I'm not asking you to hear the word of a man or to hear the words of but a account of when it came to pass. Jesus is no ordinary man. He comes and shows up, and he knows the natural law, even though he can overrule it. He's the master of the sea. He's going to show in this passage of scripture, and we already read it, that he could throw the nets even when they had toiled all nights, and the nets would be filled to the place where they would break. But later on, this same Simon, or we'll call him Peter would be in the boat in the midst of a storm, and Jesus would step in the boat and say, peace be still. And the winds and the waves, not just the fish, obey him, but the natural laws. The thing, see, fish, we can understand, you know, Jesus isn't Aquaman. He didn't tell fish to jump into the boat or just speak to the fish, and we think they have life, but the wind and the waves obeyed him. The natural laws of things, not just things that had a mind and had a what we would consider, life, but things that we think are inanimate or things that just are without control, God can speak to them. He said in his triumphant entry, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Folks, we got to realize that we serve God of the universe, one that created all the natural laws and can break them at any time he wants, that can change things to show himself mighty. Here it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. See, if I had a God like that, I'd want to hear his word. If I believed in a God that could change everything that I think is natural and normal around me, that he could change the very laws of nature, I'd want to hear what that God said. And the God of the universe is here stepping in a boat. He says he comes to the sea, and there are people pressing upon him to hear his words, to hear him teach. And he says, I need to get a little bit of space between me and them and let the natural laws of sound be carried in so that the people can hear my voice. He walks up to two ships. And think about how the God of the universe, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills under the cows, he really was the owner of the boat. And think about this, if he really wanted to, he just could have walked out on the water and stood and talked to him. But for Peter's sake, he turned around and said, he prays him. The word pray here, praying is asking. Do you know we fell on our face and asked God for Brother Mark Whistler? We've asked for others this week that they would come through their surgeries and that there would be no problem. We will continue to ask for a church. When the church comes together in one accord, it is asking God to move and to change things that only He can change. And so we'll continue to ask, but Jesus prayed, Simon. Do you know that Jesus prays for you? He's asked us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I'm not preaching anything deep today. I just want to show you from the scripture maybe something that you hadn't considered. Just like he did to Peter, he prayed some things. He's prayed to those around him and to us even here today. And Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You say, well, what is the prayer? Come unto me. All the rest of the scripture, he begins to tell us who we are. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He tells us he knows us. Come unto me, everybody that's burdened and carrying hard things. All of you that have fears. All of you that have worries. All of you that don't know where you're going to spend eternity. Come unto me. See, folks, I remember a long time ago that I was in church and had been churched for a long time. But I remember the day when I was 15 years old that I heard the Savior call to me and prayed me come. Come unto me. Because I can tell you that day I was under the burden of my own sin. I felt laboring, like I was laboring and I was heavy laden. And there was only one person in God's word that could give me rest. And his name is Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5, he says, he prays and says, come. He says, he goes, in verse 3, he says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust it out a little from the land." Now, maybe you don't know where the timeline is here, but Simon already knows who Jesus is. He has already had his brother come and say, "Come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Master. We found the Messiah." His brother Andrew is his partner. But he reaches out and says to Peter, "Hey, Peter, your brother already believes and he's told you that I'm that one. John the Baptist testified to me, but hey, you thrust me out a little bit from the land so I can speak." See, Jesus could have walked on the water and stood there and that would have been amazement, but they wouldn't have heard what he was saying because of what he was doing. Can I just tell you that sometimes God doesn't do things in the order that we want things done or doesn't do them to the place or the way we would do them because sometimes he knows who we are. He realizes we're in the midst of labor and heavy laden. And even if we saw something, we would be so mesmerized that we couldn't hear the word of God. And let me tell you this, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You may have seen some things in this life, but they've all brought you to this point, and it's not been an accident. You may have been through some things, and it brought you to this place. But let me tell you, there's no works or no tribulation in this life that ever saved anybody. It brings them to a place where they will enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I had a man tell me one time that he was swimming, and he was saved. He knew he was on his way to heaven. He said, "I was swimming one day and I was about to go under. I was cramping and I couldn't swim any longer. And God saved me. He sent somebody out to pull me to shore." Now, God did save him by sending somebody, but he saved his flesh from death. That's not spiritual salvation. There's only one that can save spiritually, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you trusting by faith in the finished work of Calvary, putting your everything in Jesus by trusting him. You say, "What do you mean?" I'm just saying, labor and heavy laden. Look at the rest of the scripture here. He says, and they pushed out a little from the land and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So I first see that Jesus prayed But then I see that Jesus preached. He sat down and taught them. Without a doubt, guess what Simon had to sit in the boat and listen to that day? How that there was a Messiah that would be born of a virgin. He heard all about all the things that he had heard up from a child about how there was one coming. And all the things. And all the time, Peter's going, that guy's sitting in the boat with me. Everything that's ever been promised about a Messiah that would come, he's been fulfilled in every point in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't know how to act. Jesus finishes preaching. He says, you know what? Now look in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So after he gets done preaching, Jesus says, I feel like fishing. Not because Jesus wanted to go fishing, but because Peter still needed to hear the word of God. He needed to see the word of God in action. See, even though we don't think about it that way, launch out into the deep and drop your nets, that's a command personally to Peter to help Peter understand that Jesus is the master. See, he knew and had a witness. Even look at his reaction. And Simon, in verse number 5, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, he believed, but he didn't understand. He believed that Jesus was the master, and all the preaching he believed and understood, all those things, but he didn't have a complete knowledge. This morning, folks, I have a lot of Bible knowledge about how Jesus came from heaven, but I don't know how he did it miraculously. I've never looked into the inner working gears of the miracle, of how God could take God and put him into a womb. And then let God grow up and be wrapped in flesh. I can't explain it, but I know it happened just like the Bible said it did. And then that baby that was born without sin grew up into a man who never sinned, was tempted personally by the devil. You know, a lot of us in this room, if we're not careful, we blame everything on the devil when it's mostly the flesh that gets us. The devil made me do it, like it makes it better. Well, the devil tried to make Jesus do it, and he didn't. And I'm thankful, because there's some things the devil tried to make me do, and I did. And I was guilty. Even if I was born without sin, when I was a boy, I told a lie to my mama. I stole a cookie when she said, don't touch the cookies. They were just so good, I had to have one. Mom was good to catch me. And I can tell you, I've been tanned. Hey, we could talk about, but you know, even though I had earthly punishment, that sin wasn't just against my parents, it was against God. And because of that sin, according to the scripture, I deserved the devil's hell. But Jesus came in a miraculous way, lived a perfect life, and then died on Calvary to pay for my sin debt. Do you know what really changed my world was when I realized, when I grew up in a local church, it wasn't growing up in a local church that changed my life. It was the preaching of the Word of God, and then me seeing it become real before my very eyes. You see, Peter heard the Word of God, and all of a sudden now, Jesus is, he's going to see it be real before his very eyes. This master who he knew was the Messiah, he's going to see his power. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but when I see this happen, I see a man that says, I've tried all kinds of different things. Jesus, I've toiled all the night. How many of you come in here this morning and say, I've heard about this salvation and I've had no peace? I've worked and worked and worked and tried to do good things. I've been baptized. I've done communion. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I've done and I've done and I've done all these things. It isn't about your doing. It's about what Jesus did. It's not about your work. It's about simply getting in the boat. See, Peter all the good nets were on shore. Think about this. They had fished and fished and fished, and all they came up with was old boots and what everybody else had thrown in the lake. You say, why you say that? Because they were cleaning their nets. There was all kinds of junk that they had scrubbed the bottom all night long. They had picked up everything that nobody wanted that they had left in the lake. Without a doubt, they're probably just washing the nets and maybe even repairing them from some of the things. If it had been one of our lakes, you might have drug out an old car, transmission or a bumper, old car tire. What in the world is this doing out here in the middle of the lake? You know what I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, these nets that had been cleaned, there was one old spare net that they had kept in the boat. They had even probably forgot about that. Do you know Israel had had the truth from the very beginning? They had had God's word and knew that he was on his way, but even when he showed up, they missed it. But for this Israelite, he got to have a one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that he was the Messiah, but now he got to see the power of the Messiah personally for him. Folks, I don't know about you, but when God doesn't something for you personally, it means something. Jesus could have done all kinds of things, but when this was a fisherman. This was a second generation, maybe even third generation fisherman that knew what he was doing. He knew when to go, and he had toiled all the night. He knew where he should go and what part of the lake he should go to. And Jesus says, just launch out a little bit into the deep. Just drop the net. And Peter believed in his word. You know, if you would simply believe in the words of God today, that according to this word, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised, look, that he's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved according to the scripture. Do you know if you'll just believe his words, he'd save you this morning? Can you imagine what happened that day when Peter said, listen, I've worked and I know that this place is empty, that there are no fish to be had, but at thy word. You know, some of you may have come, and I know there are people, even in a Baptist church like ours, that found your way. You have gone through every other type of religion. You've worked and worked, and you come in this morning laboring and heavy laden with your own sins. You've trusted in baptism or communion or your own works, whatever it is. You've trusted in a lot of things, but none of that has ever given you peace. None of that has given you what Jesus called for in Matthew chapter 11, rest for your soul. And all you have to do is get in the boat. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and instead of your own. Nothing that is about to happen in that boat was any work of Peter's or any of his associates. This was Jesus saying, launch out into the deep. This is good enough right here. Now drop the net. Do you know, to me, signal that, you know, you say, I don't see how you see that. Well, think about, there's no work for them. He just says, right here, drop the nets. Do you know when I dropped carrying my own works for salvation? When I put down me thinking that I had something to do with it? When I laid down my will? And I trusted wholly and solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that the word even repent, when it has to do with salvation, it means Jesus plus nothing. It's turning from anything else that I was trusting in to Jesus Christ. And maybe your issue this morning, your search for salvation, has been held up because you've never repented. That means you've never put down. You believed in Jesus, but you never put down your baptism. You believed in Jesus, but you never put down your own works. You believed in Jesus, and you always plussed him with something else. And you never found rest in that. Today, why don't you just let down the net? Put down anything that you are adding. Repent of your own addition to the word of God and just trust the words of God. Just trust in what he said. He said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you realize that it's not Jesus plus anything else? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You say, preacher, what happens here? He says, nevertheless, I don't see how in the world you're going to do it. Do you know, I remember when I fell on my face, I trusted in Jesus Christ. You know, I realized how much of a sinner I really was. And I wasn't like Paul saying, out of all the sinners, I'm the worst one, but I knew I wasn't a good one. And I thought, I don't know why you would do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I'm just trusting because I can't carry this load anymore. I can't bear this burden. There's nothing I can do to change my eternal destiny. And I remember when I let down my nets of apprehension, when I let down my nets of working myself, and I just trusted in him. He says here, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. Look at Peter's reaction. He gets so caught up in the moment. He just said, Master, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I don't know why you're telling me to do it. There's no way that this is ever going to, I'm not going to take any fish because I fished and this ain't the right time to fish. He begins to beckon to his partners. He reacts just like anyone else that went in the flesh. He's like, look at all these fish. This is one of the biggest hauls he's ever had. He's never seen a haul of fish like this. He begins to call his partners, come out and see this. Look at this. Come help me. My nets are breaking. The Bible says that when they get there, they had to put the fish in the boat. You know, in other instances, they dragged the nets to land and dragged the fish out. But here, the nets are breaking, so they begin to drag the fish in the boat. Look at what it says. Which were in other ships, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I want to tell you this morning. I've been fishing a lot. When I was a boy, we went fishing, and I won't tell you all my exploits of fishing, but you never bragged about a fish until you had it in the boat. I've seen many a guy pull that thing up, and he had the biggest fish that I ever saw and had the biggest grin on his face. And right about here is when it would wiggle one more time and it went back in the lake. Hey, folks, and I just want to tell you, if we can tell fishing stories and have natural things like that, realize this, there are just that many people that got that close to getting in the boat with Jesus Christ. They have a head full of Jesus. They grew up in a church. They know all about him. They've been taught all these different things, but they never came to the place where they would humble themselves as a little child and lay down all the things that they think they have to add to salvation and just take Jesus as their Savior. You know, it isn't easy to walk an aisle and to come down and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. That's why the Bible says to humble yourself as a little child. It's not easy to do that. But would you miss the boat because people watch you walk down the aisle? Would you miss the boat because you're so proud that you don't want anybody to see you get saved, and that's what every Christian in the building has done in the past? I can tell you when I got saved, I remember I walked down an old-fashioned aisle and I held and gripped the pew for about 3 songs. And finally, I decided that I was not going to go to hell for anybody inside the building. I wasn't going to go to hell because anybody else was watching. This was between me and God. And folks, this morning, let me tell you, it's between you and God. It's not between the people sitting around you. It's not really even between you and the person that invited you to come. It's between you and a man named Jesus who came from heaven and died for your soul so that you might be able to live eternally. And today, if you're not sure of salvation, my invitation to you today is to step out and come forward. Let us take a Bible, because what everybody came to hear was the Word of God. What you desperately need to have trust in and faith in is the God of this Bible and His Word. And if you would walk down the aisle, we'll take a Bible and show you how God's Word says that you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Not what man says or not what you have come to grips with in your own mind that you think makes salvation. And let me tell you again, if that equates in your mind Jesus plus anything else, that is not eternal salvation. It's Jesus plus nothing. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've been in church a long time." Maybe you're saying, "I just walked in the door, but preacher, today I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved." Would you slip your hand up if you're in the building like that? And you want me to pray for you. You say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved." Is there anybody like that today? I want to pray for you. I want you to be able to get that settled. Is there anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up just high enough? Is there one in the building? How many would slip their hands up and say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ." Would you slip it up and hold it up? Maybe if you're here and you don't know for sure and you can't do that, why don't you look at the hands? Look at the hands that have done that. Well, why don't you do that today? As we stand to our feet, as Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you don't know for sure that if you died right now, you go to heaven. This is a time while folks' heads are bowed and their eyes are closed and folks are praying. They're praying for your soul, that you'll get it settled, that you'll know for sure by the time you leave the building that you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you step out and come if you're like that? Why don't you just step out and let us take a Bible? Maybe you're here and you're a believer, you've been saved, but do you know what he did once he had fish in the net? Once he had seen what God could do, he began to beckon to others to come to Christ. Maybe you're a Christian here. This going fishing campaign is something that's really for you. It helps us as Christians to encourage others to accept the same Jesus that we've believed in. Maybe you're here today and need to pray for somebody that they'll come to Christ. Why don't you do whatever God's asking you to do, as Brother Burke sings?
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise.